This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at zonepouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live Wide Open.
Off the end of the back straightaway. Larson's going to send it. Larson's in the wall. Larson's on Hamlin's back bumper. Logano leads down the back straightaway. Keselowski's in line. Now he turns him. Both Team Penske cars crash. Keselowski is up in a ball of flame.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you as we have cleared early season short track season racing. We've been on the short tracks 3 of the last 4 weeks, obviously most recently at Martinsville. The week before that, we were at Richmond. 2 weeks before that, we were at Bristol. And then now it's time to get back to mile-and-a-half racing, super speedway racing, mile track racing with the Monster Mile coming up at the end of the month. And it's been quite an interesting spell here in the NASCAR Cup Series. Has some interesting racing in the last few weeks. This weekend, we're off to Texas. It's another triple event weekend. We got the trucks on Friday, got the Andy's Frozen Custard 300 for the Xfinity Series and their Dash for Cash race on Saturday. And, of course, the NASCAR Cup Series Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400. All of that coming your way from Texas Motor Speedway. Wanted to focus in on the trucks this week. Obviously, the Cup car is going to be getting a lot of attention, going back to Texas. But we wanted to focus on what happened a year ago. We have been talking about Carson Hocevar the last couple of years. Right now, he drives the number 77 Spire Motorsports car in the NASCAR Cup Series. But his first career win came a year ago at Texas Motor Speedway while he was driving for Nice Motorsports. Let's go to the hotline and let's take a little trip down memory lane and talk about other issues as well with the driver of the number 77. Welcome into NASCAR Live Wide Open, Carson. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. Before we get into racing and all this stuff, this past week we had the solar eclipse. Did you participate in that at all the other day?
No, not really. Just traveling back from Martinsville, it would have been cool to go somewhere where it was a full eclipse, but we already kind of somewhat saw one in Vegas, and I didn't have the glasses, and I wasn't 100% prepared or anything. I just saw the pictures and videos that would have been way cooler than even if I just looked up in North Carolina.
Yeah, some of those pictures are fantastic. The instant wallpaper material for all those phones out there. Well, let's press on. Let's talk a little racing. Before we get to the one-year anniversary of the truck win, I want to talk about you and what's going on right now in 2024. I know it's been some tough sledding out there. Where are you in your first year in Cup racing, and where is the team, Spire Motorsports, right now in your assessment?
I feel like we're in a decent spot. I feel like the 77 cars had a lot of speed at a handful of places. Two super speedways in there, you could really have to put yourself in or dig yourself out of a hole, or be it look like a hero or vice versa or somewhere in between. And Daytona, we obviously we're in a hole that we're, you know, just trying to climb out of. And I think the mile and a half is really where we have a lot of speed and can really show our strength. And this part of the year, we haven't had any, if, you know, just one really. So excited to get to this part of the year that we really, I think, can start building some momentum. And I think we finally just hit on something at Martinsville that we can build on for our short track package, because I knew that was going to be the weak spot of our game. And I thought we could be in a good spot that we've had a lot of speed throughout sprinkled in here, but we just haven't had smooth days. And that's just normal for a new team with our team with new standards, basically.
Has it been an adjustment to get adjusted to the quote unquote new standards? You're working through some things, you're finding some things here and there. Is this almost a trust the process type portion of the situation to where the results will come? You just have to have the patience to get through some of the bumps in the road along the way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's not just you know, get in, plug in and you know, just take a team that, you know, had the standards of, you know, where they were running last year. You know, they finished 33rd in points, right? You know, when you make mistakes on pit road or make strategy mistakes or make mistakes on restarts, it's pretty easy not to, you know, hold too much bearing on it on Monday. When you go into the shop, you know, it's not, you know, that per se big of a deal, because it really doesn't affect where you were running. Where if you're running, you know, 10th like we were at Vegas and then drop the jack on the money stop, you know, that takes you from, you know, a top 10 day that if you had a really good restart, you could run 5th to restart in about 28th and get back to 15th. That, you know, on paper, 15th looks like a decent day, but it has so much more potential than that. So just days like that, you know, and days like Richmond and other places where you don't have the speed and you're making mistakes, right? You know, it just starts compounding. So it's just more so just trying to figure all that out. Martinsville, we didn't have any mistakes and just qualified 25th, lacked a little bit in qualifying that we were able to just run around 15th all day, really. And you know, obviously super tough to pass there, but we were, you know, if we could have taken ourselves out of it really easily. So it's just the trust the process part that, you know, I think by halfway through the year, I think we'll be in a really good spot to start being in the top 15, maybe top 10, just a lot more consistently.
What's it been like to reprogram yourself? Because, you know, race car drivers, they want results. They want them now, right? They want to go out. They want to make a difference. They want to win races. And when that doesn't happen and you're in that situation to where you're in that trust the process mode, how have you had to adjust your expectations or dealing with something that you may walk away with results that you didn't necessarily want at the end of the day?
I mean, yeah, it's a little different, right? To go from winning, you know, at the truck, we only cared about winning races and fighting for a championship, where now it's more about the good runs. But I kind of just got the same, I guess, I, you know, running with Legacy last year, I think really helped that. You know, I had my expectations really haven't changed. You know, Legacy, the 42 car, you know, I had struggled all year. There were really weren't any expectations. So when we run, you know, 5th at times or 10th or 12th or, you know, that seemed like wins. And I think that's really where we stepped in, you know, that 15th now is okay and could be good days. But, you know, later part of the year, all of a sudden, if we start running, you know, we have 6 to 10 15s in a row or whatever, eventually that's, you know, you're going to want 10s, and 10s will become 5s, and then 5s hopefully it becomes 2s and 3s, and then maybe you can start knocking the door of wins. And, you know, we're just not there yet as a company, as a team. Makes it easy that, you know, if we really run good, you know, a 5th would be a huge day. It'd be like a win for us right now. That, it's just a different total calibration that I don't know. It's just, luckily I had those races last year that I've just been able to carry that into this year and really not, you know, be stressed that we're obviously not winning or being contending for wins. But I think we could see the writing on the wall and see what we're building here with me and Luke and this Spire 77 group, that I feel like we could get there to just be a front runner more than anything.
Well, you mentioned the fives and the fours, the threes and the twos. Well, let's go back a year and talk about the one. And that one we're talking about is a first place finish at Texas Motor Speedway in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. What do you remember about that day? The first win in the trucks for a young Carson Hocevar.
I remember the first part of the race was a struggle. Couldn't get the handling of it. Remember restarting, I don't know, like 18th or whatever, and thinking for some odd reason, every time we'd be leading, I'd be wondering what's going to happen to take us out of it. And for some whatever reason, I can remember going into turn three, like just kind of resetting. Like Phil just kind of gave us all a pump up of like, hey, we were just going to reset here, end of stage two. We just basically put this thing up jack stands. We chased all four corners of this truck. We can make a good day out of this. And for some reason, I remember thinking like, this would be the day of all days, but the day that, you know, I think we're all already just ready to go home, that I just unironically said as sarcasm, would be like, this is the day we'd probably win our first one. Like a day that was so rough like this, you know, the ones you don't see coming. And sure enough, we found ourselves fifth on the last restart, passed the third, and then the two trucks in front of us were, you know, banging off each other, and Nick kind of spun himself going through the grass, and you know, put myself in a really good spot that just to capitalize, try to make a three wide move that just opened up the door, and then the rest of it's almost a blur. That I just have a lot of pictures to remember it.
What's it like, though, when the seas parted and they got all tangled up down there and you emerge on the other side and take a look around? It's like, wait, I'm leading this thing. Are you kidding? We're about to win this. What is that realization like when you've scratched and you've clawed and all of a sudden, when it matters the most, you're leading the way? What is it like to process that moment?
I do remember. I remember it was really quiet on the radio. Like, I think we're all speechless. I was. Like, I almost had like a hysterical, speechless, like I remember my mouth being open, and like I was like looking around waiting for anybody to say anything on the radio. I didn't know if we got to the white. I didn't know like if that was it. I didn't know if there's more. I didn't know like, do I stay in the throttle and go around? Do I slow down? If I slow down too much, am I gonna lose? Like which I was waiting on info, and I didn't really get any info because I think everybody was took their headset off and was trying to figure out those questions themselves. So I just remember going around there and looking around and almost laughing in a sense, thinking, you know, not really sure what just happened. I don't, like, everything just happened so quick. All I remember was before the start finish line, I could see them side by side and slowing each other down, and was going to go bottom of three. And then the second I started to look, all I remember is the car sideways and in the dirt, and then all of a sudden there was no cars left in front of me.
It's a pretty amazing day. And of course, we brought it to you here on the Motor Racing Network, and now you get to return to Texas as a Texas Motor Speedway winner. When you do something like that, like your first win, does like Texas take on, you know, a different meaning to you? Is that a place you look forward to going back to, a place that you hold fondly, considering it gave you your first truck win?
Yeah. You know, I got to go back there in the fall for the Cup Car, and we ran really well. You know, a track that I originally was not a huge fan of and didn't feel great at. And then the year before, we finished fourth, and I felt super good. Felt like we could have won that race, but had to do some tire strategy and just was on two worse of tires and just tried to run a finish top five and not try too hard. And obviously, the next year ended up winning that. We went in the Cup Car, and I felt like I had a little bit, definitely a boost of confidence, but more so felt good about myself and how to get around the place and go fast there. That I felt like it helped. And, you know, it's a little different this year. Like, it's not the first time going back, right? But I think it's still the second time going back that it still does feel pretty special walking into the place. And yeah, it just makes me feel pretty good that we ran really good in a Cup Car first time there. And then you'll be able to go back and, you know, knowing I have a win there, felt really good. And the last two, three times I've been there, I've always had a lot of speed there. So that part makes it more special than anything.
Well, here's to hoping that you still have that speed this weekend, and all the best in the race this weekend. Obviously, we're talking NASCAR Cup Series racing. We'll have action for you covered with the Truck Series, but obviously Carson and the rest of the NASCAR Cup crew getting ready for the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 Sunday at Texas Motor Speedway. Appreciate you spending time with us. We wanted to dip in with you, check in with you, and do a little trip down memory lane as far as that first career win was concerned. Safe travels to Texas. We'll look forward to seeing what you got for us this weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That was something to remember right there. A year ago, you try, the seas part, and all of a sudden, number one for Carson Hocevar. After all that trying, they were able to get their first win. He was able to get his first win in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Let's shift gears and now talk to the most recent winner in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Last weekend at Martinsville, it was Christian Eckes and McAnally Hilgeman Racing taking the checkered flag. It was their second win of the year. They've also won Bristol. And now we get set to go to Texas with the trucks on Friday. Christian's on the hotline right now. Christian, welcome into NASCAR Live Wide Open. How are we doing today?
I'm good, man. Just left the shop, actually. They were loading the Texas truck up and back home. Got to do some sim today, but just taking it easy for the big weekend, for sure.
When you say that you have sim to do, what does that entail? For the race fan that doesn't know, when you climb aboard or when you go in there, how long does it take? What all do you do, and what things are you looking for when you do it?
Yeah, so our sessions are usually about 3.5 hours at the GM Technical Center in Concord. And we can do pretty much a very wide variety of things. But for the most part, it's to get me acclimated with how the truck's going to drive and the different handling characteristics that that translate to in real life. It's super cool that we have this tool to be able to do it, especially with the lack of practice and everything. It's super crucial in our weekend preparation, not only the teams, but mine as well, just kind of getting accumulated for the weekend. So it's definitely an important part of our weeks.
You obviously are in a simulator and you're doing simulation. How close to real life is that? When you walk away, you obviously can't put G's in there like you can when you're actually strapped into the truck. But how close to real life is that situation?
It depends on the week, but for the most part, I feel like it's pretty accurate. Like this weekend for Texas, I feel like it's pretty good. Same with Martinsville. So, it's super accurate for that as far as, determining how the handling is going to be. And it's, I would say, within half a number here and there of handling-wise, pretty much.
Well, I'm sure it'll pay dividends. There are a lot of dividends that have been into the direction of McAnally Hilgeman Racing in 2024. And you obviously have won multiple races. It's been fun to watch this race team come to life. What is the turning point for this race team? Because it seems like you're in contention more than not, and you seem to be a factor in how these races are decided more than not.
Yeah, I would just say the hard work and determination of Bill McAnally to make this into a race-winning organization. He came to me, I guess it would have been in December of 2022, and wanted things to change. Wasn't very happy with the direction that they were currently in. So he's done a lot to make the team better, to give me everything I've needed. And it's been cool to be kind of a part of that, coming from other productive race teams, and knowing what they do and kind of trying to implement some of that stuff over the last 2 years. Just to see that come to fruition has been super cool. But I think we're on the new truck, maybe number 7 or something like that. So Bill's definitely given me everything that we need to go out and contend, as well as the other teams as well.
Well, you're solid on the short tracks. Both of your wins this year have come on short tracks at Bristol and at Martinsville. Assess the other track types for you guys. Like, for instance, Texas this weekend, 1.5 miles, a very fast racetrack. Where do you feel you guys are coming into this race this weekend?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know. There's been times that I felt like that's our strong point is 1.5 miles, and there's been times that we've felt like it's our weak point for sure. Like Las Vegas earlier this year, the only 1.5 miles that we've had did not go to plan whatsoever. So I felt like leaving there, we had a lot of work to do, and I felt like we've made the gains over the last couple of weeks trying to get it better. So hopefully those gains paid off. But I feel like it'll be a true tell this week to see really where we're at on the 1.5 miles stuff.
You've driven for other teams in the Truck Series, and obviously McAnally Hilgeman Racing is your most recent destination. And I'm sure you've picked up things from each stop along the way. Where does your race team, how does your race team operate maybe differently, or maybe concepts that are different with where you are now versus where you were? Are there radical differences from your stops previous to this one?
I don't know if there's radical differences anymore. I'd say that I'm more involved now than I ever have been as far as multiple aspects of the team that I really haven't been in the past, which has been cool. Just to kind of have a little bit more say than maybe I would have typically had before. But when I first got there, we didn't really have the things we needed to succeed yet. But like I said, Bill's done an amazing job of giving us everything we need plus some to go out there and run better than I expected us to last year and this year. So it's just all, race winning organizations are pretty similar. The mindset has definitely changed over the last couple months of really only being accepting of wins. That's one thing that was definitely different from the teams I've been at before, but I feel like we've kind of molded into that over the last couple months.
Well, we know where you are right now, and you're in a pretty good spot in the Truck Series, but for the listener that doesn't know, how did this get started? At what point as a young man did you come to the realization that being a professional, stock car driver, in this case a stock truck driver, was going to be your destination, and you wanted to make a career out of motorsports? How did this start?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really have the answer for that. It's definitely been a roller coaster over the last 10, 15 years that I've been doing this. I got lucky a lot of times to get opportunities like I'm in now to continue excelling in my career. But yeah, I guess I've always wanted to do it since I was a young kid. And then as I continued to win and move up the ranks, it's become more of a reality for sure.
Well, you made the most of it, my friend. Did it start with going to a local track, or what was the first racing vehicle you ever raced? Do you recall that?
I do. It was a Bandolero at Bethel Motor Speedway, and the car that I drove was pretty bad. I lost the brakes. So it was a two-day show, and the brakes failed on it 2 days in a row. So it was not a good start for my career. Going back to this year, I had no brakes at Atlanta too, so it was kind of a familiar flashback, I guess. But definitely did not start out my racing career on a high note with that. It was pretty pretty scary and scared me for a couple of weeks as a nine-year-old for sure.
Well, and as a younger guy, and by the way, you did a great job recovering from that. Hate that you had that Atlanta flashback, but you're obviously on a great path right now. Where do you want to be in the future? Obviously, the Truck Series, probably not your last stop or not your destination, just a stop along the journey. Where would you like to see yourself when opportunities present themselves to move forward and move up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, regardless of anything that I drive, I want to be in a position where I can win. That's super important to me is to be in good equipment, which I feel like I'm really in that right now. So I don't necessarily want to leave unless I have something that I can go win in and feel like I can succeed in. So we'll have to see. But yeah, as a kid, I always wanted to race in the Cup Series. So if an opportunity did arise, I would definitely look into that for sure.
Well, and I'm sure that you make the most of where you are now and opportunities that come up, and we wish you the best in trying to get to the NASCAR Cup Series at some point, but we don't want to lose you just yet. You're making a mark in the Truck Series. You're doing a great job this year. We wish you the best in trying to get win number 3 in the SpeedyCash.com 250 Friday night at the Texas Motor Speedway. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Yep, thank you.
That team is definitely on a roll right now, and not to be discounted. He has gone, Christian that is, has gone from being in the mix to being like one of the lead dogs in the Truck Series right now, and they have hit on something, and they will be a force to be reckoned with Friday night in the SpeedyCash.com 250. We'll give you our broadcast schedule in a moment. First, let's get some odds for Sunday's Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400. Producer Trey is here with those. Trey, what's Vegas? What are you saying this week going into Texas?
Vegas this weekend has one of the best drivers in the world as the favorite. Probably more often than not this season, we've been talking about Kyle Larson being the betting favorite. And that is the case this weekend at Texas. Kyle is 4-1 to win this Sunday at Texas Motor Speedway. Tyler Reddick is right behind him, a former winner at Texas. He is 6-1, and then Denny Hamlin is at 7-1. As far as my pick, I don't typically love going chalk, but I think you have to go Larson. Larson has won at Texas multiple times. Larson probably was the fastest car there last fall. That late restart incident with Bubba Wallace ended his day early, or else he probably would have won that race last year as well. There are some interesting guys. Like I would like to go Bubba. I would like to go a Ross Chastain who was in the mix last year. Ryan Blaney's always good at Texas, but I think the safe pick this weekend is Kyle Larson to win, and even as the favorite, 4-1 odds are pretty good. But now back to Bubba Wallace, talking about long shots. It's not a super steep long shot, but Bubba Wallace is 16-1 this weekend, four times as steep odds as the favorite in Kyle Larson. I think Bubba, if he's going to get one of those early season wins that he is very much after, I think Texas could be a place that he does it. And then a very steep long shot. If you remember last year, in all in that chaos at the end of that race in Texas, I mentioned that Bubba was in the mix. Larson was obviously in the mix. William Byron won. Ross Chastain was in the mix. You want to talk about another driver who was surprisingly in the mix at the end of that race? That was Chase Briscoe. That was the first sign that Stuart Haas Racing had kind of hit on something and was starting to turn things around a little bit. You look at this year, the only mile and a half race. Noah Gregson at Vegas had a ton of speed. Briscoe's had improved speed this year. Briscoe's all the way down at 80-1 to win. So Texas has shown an ability to have some chaos towards the end of these races. If Briscoe can find his way into the mix in the top 10 and we see some chaos at the end of the race, he could work his way into contention. Bubba and Briscoe, the long shots, but ultimately, I think it's Kyle Larson celebrating in victory lane on a mile-and-a-half racetrack for the second time this season.
I was going to say, I'm with you on that Larson pick. Briscoe may be a good one. By the way, just to freshen everyone's memory from the last time that we raced at a mile-and-a-half track, it was back on March 3rd. Larson won. Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney, Chastain, Ty Gibbs, the top five, with Noah Gregson, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and William Byron, your top 10. Take one out of that, but I love Trey's pick there with Kyle Larson. He's obviously established himself on short tracks, and they have established themselves as well on mile-and-a-half racetrack. So I'm with you on the Kyle Larson plan. We'll be with you at Texas Friday night for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, SpeedyCash.com 250. It'll be an 8 p.m. Eastern airtime for us here at Motor Racing Network. Our friends at the Performance Racing Network will have Xfinity and Cup coverage for you Saturday and Sunday. Don't forget, we're back with NASCAR Live Tuesday night at 7. We've got another installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open next Thursday. And then, of course, 1 week from this weekend, it is back to Talladega for the Geico 500 race weekend. For producer Trey and the rest of the MRN team, I'm Mike Bagley. Thanks for the download. We'll chat with you next week and next weekend from Talladega Super Speedway. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live Wide Open is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com.
Hey, everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy in four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney, four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak. Thank you.